You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon in the 24 time zones of this beautiful planet Earth. Welcome to The Real Short Box Audio Edition. I'm going to introduce you to our little panel today. First, we have the riveting, the ravishing Raphael. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Splendid. That's good.
Also, we have the sensational one. How are you doing, sir?
Sensational.
Absolutely.
That was easy.
And then we have the dapper, dazzling, dopey, original Donald.
Wow.
How are you doing, sir?
That was very colorful. Thank you. I'm great. I couldn't be better. I'm definitely not in any pain at all.
You ruined it, man. You're supposed to start with an S. Have it describe,
Yeah, whatever.
Super spectacular.
Yeah, super spectacular. That's something an 8-year-old would say, by the way. I'm super spectacular. Or well,
I'm sorry, Donald.
How are you? That's like somebody at, Gary dude or whatever his name was in South Park. I'm super spectacular. You know?
I'm sorry, I don't see you beyond 8 years old.
Oh, well.
I mean, you could have let him, let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, I could have, but I didn't. So. Now let's not forget the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
I appreciate
sir.
He he bowed like you could fucking see him. But
He did bow.
They can imagine.
Yeah. So what are we talking about?
Imagine a guy in a really ugly hat bowing.
That is a I thought it said trash, but it doesn't.
It's Trask. Remember I got this at Comic-Con 2013 when they were doing the X-Men Days of Future Past panel?
I don't remember at all.
Gosh, man. You remember anything these days.
I didn't. You're right. I think I have a problem.
You do have a problem.
Yeah. I think he's got the memory of an 8-year-old.
Onset early dementia, maybe, perhaps.
No, that's too soon.
Yeah, well, I'm going to beat people with my cane, I think.
Oh,
I don't know
man.
You.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know you.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You know, brothers and sisters, we're going to take up a collection tonight before the end of the podcast for Mr. Donald.
For my hospital bills.
Exactly.
My multiple hospital bills.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I may have to lay hands on him, too, to heal him of this affliction.
Just go to rumblespoon.com and type in donations. It'll pop right up.
That's right.
And Kevin is available for any ailments.
Yes.
That you have.
You put he will... healing hands upon you.
Yes. All it costs you is $100.
Yes. Jesus.
Yes.
Well, there's that too.
If you're looking for a bigger butt or bigger breasts,
Kevin will put his hands on them. Let me just warm up here. All right, let me get in again.
Miyagi style. Mr. Miyagi style, you know?
Kevin, you're terrible.
Now, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to be discussing a very interesting and controversial topic within the comic book community.
Yes, it is.
That Raphael and I came up with earlier this week. And it's basically, what's a cameo and what's a full appearance?
Easy. Really quickly. Cameo is a video where minor celebrities get on to say happy birthday to people mm-hmm. and make a quick quip mm-hmm. and make a lot of money. Sean Astin does it. So does the dude that made the chili in The Office.
Oh, yeah, Kevin. He makes a lot.
Kevin. I couldn't remember his name, and there's
I'm
a Kevin
right here.
Sitting right in front of
that dude makes a lot from
oh,
that.
I bet he does. He made a chili cookbook, too, by the way. Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, that dude's, like, got to be
know, it's not just
doing
super
all right.
minor guys. It's also Ric Flair.
Woo!
Really? Woo! Yeah, Ric Flair's on there.
Yeah.
Corey Hart.
Who?
Oh, sorry, never
mind. Anyway, that's not really what a cameo is. You go ahead and explain to us, Raphael, what's a cameo?
I mean, it's really tough to tell. Marvel basically states a cameo is not a first appearance of a character, but I guess maybe one page, one snippet, letting you know that in the next book, this character is coming.
What does DC have to say?
I don't know. I don't understand if anyone actually has it right or anyone has it wrong. I think the cameo is not even determined by Marvel or by DC, but mm-hmm. but at the moment is determined by CGC.
Per Oxford, a cameo is a small character part in a play or movie played by a distinguished actor or celebrity, or a piece of jewelry, typically oval in shape, consisting of a portrait in profile, carved in relief on a background of different color. So probably not the second.
Yeah, no, no.
But like a, you know, a cameo is basically, you know, you're reading a book, and at the end it shows you on one little panel a character, mm-hmm. and then it makes you want to get the next book to see who that character is, why he's there, and what's going on.
Gotcha. That yeah. makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, in the comic book age, not every character has a cameo. Some characters just have a first appearance. They just, they're there. Boom. Here. Right. Character.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you talk about that with Amazing Spider-Man number 50, right?
50. Kingpin doesn't have a cameo. He's just in ASM 50 and boom, he's there.
Full glory. Okay. I want to briefly just mention the most bullshit cameo I've ever encountered in my life. I got ripped off on this one and I just could kick myself for it. It was Superboy number 0.
Oh, the
and it was marked as the was a King Shark.
King Shark's
first appearance.
He's on the cover.
He's not at all. In fact, he's not even in the book.
Number 1 is the cover, I think, right?
No, it's like issue number 9.
Wow.
Is where he's jumping out and they're facing each other. Number 0 is actually on the last page. There is a black panel, very small panel, and there's a smiling, just smiling teeth, and that's it. And that's King Shark's cameo appearance.
Well, that's wow. very reminiscent of Doomsday and his multiple Fista cameos.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, it's very better, much so. It's that was a Man of Steel book, if I recall.
Well, the first where he actually breaks
17.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. But it was in action. And
it's yep. far better than, you know, a guy who's in like 6 pages and it's a cameo.
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference, right? We're talking about is the issue is how many books are determined, the value is on whether it's a first appearance or a cameo. Now, some characters have a first appearance and cameo and no one gives a shit. Not worth worthless. But on some right. big characters, you know, there's a cameo and there's a first appearance and the price and the value of that book and the value of the collectible is based on whether it's a first appearance or a cameo. And we're here to talk about what determines, in our minds, for us, a cameo versus first appearance.
And this yep. also causes manipulation in the market because over the last few years, this has been a big, big, big deal.
Yeah.
And when we're ready, we can start giving examples.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think, you know, off topic, we'll discuss it at a later date because it's kind of, not goes hand in hand, but it's kind of funny. The books that have a character on the cover, but the character is not even in the book at all.
Yeah. I hate when they do that. It's kind of like movie trailers.
The trailer preview that where
it's
scenes wouldn't be in the movie.
Right.
You saw.
It's that there's a Daredevil versus Spider-Man book, and he's on the cover, but he's on any of the book.
I will give more of a pass, though, to film, because now, having worked in the film industry a little bit, do know that they have to cut a trailer and release it, you know, sometimes 3 to 9
months in advance, months a year in advance. Sometimes. Yeah.
And executives, this whole time after the trailer's released, are still making cuts and,
right.
and making decisions of, oh,
right.
I my cousin watched this, the cut, and she hated that little character there, so let's get rid of her. And then they edit her out, and then it ends up that was the hilarious part in the damn trailer that everybody loved, and then they go to see the movie, and it's not in there. And they're like, what the hell?
Well, they film it, and they film the character in the movie, and they're saying it's too long. Mm-hmm. They went a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Doesn't help complete the narrative. Yeah,
A lot of cuts are like usually like 1 to 2 hours longer than what you actually see when you see it. The final cut.
Yeah, the rough cut's always longer.
Yeah, much longer usually.
So I'm going to steal it. I was going to talk about a whole different book, but I'm going to steal Sean's thunder.
Always.
No.
Always.
I was, but I'm not. I'm going to say ASM 299 and 300.
Okay, that's a good one.
It's clear that he's in the...
That's Amazing Spider-Man for those. Amazing
Spider-Man 299, which is a cameo of Venom, and 300, where it's Venom's first appearance. But he's in the book. He's at the back of the book. He's in enough panels, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his name is in there. I am Venom. So when you come in and say I am Venom, and you're on more than a couple panels, I believe that it's his first appearance. Now, Venom's first cover appearance is on ASM 300, Amazing Spider-Man 300.
Actually, this cover appearance?
It's cover
appearance. Yeah, 316.
It is 316.
Well, it's
well, the Venom
suit. The suit suits in the...
It's
in the
outside, whatever, 300, yeah.
So I believe the market dictates that Amazing Spider-Man 300 is the first appearance and 299 is the cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And which makes Obviously, the $300 more sought out book and more expensive Marvel. And $299, it's not super expensive, but not super cheap either. But you see the giant difference in price in the two books. Mm-hmm. In a 9.8, we'll just talk about 9.8s, right? In a 9.8 price range, it's a big, really big difference in price, you know. And I just think that at some point, whoever decided which way or the other, I wonder if they talk to the artist and the artist says, I believe this is just a cameo. And that's how they go, or basically it's a consensus of a group of people who decide it. I'm not 100% certain, but I do think you can go either way.
I have a theory on that, mm-hmm. specifically with 300. If you look at old Marvel cards, and you look the ones from the 90s, mm-hmm. and on the back they will say, $299 is the first appearance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's Marvel saying that, or mm-hmm. whatever company Marvel uses.
Uh-huh.
I suspect Marvel considered... I don't know if they actually think about this stuff. I'm sure they don't. $299 is the first appearance. However, if you're a kid in 1988, 1989, and you had the decision between $299 and $300, you know, and you would pick $300.
Absolutely.
And I think that whole generation of people that grew up with that book, wanting that book, they wanted it because Venom is in that book.
And he's Full Glory.
Full Glory. He's in the story. He fights Spider-Man. You see him be, you know, ridiculous. You know, Todd draws him mm-hmm. with ridiculous proportions and everything. And I think that is the main reason that book became so expensive back in the day. The current market.
Still pretty high.
It's pretty high. But I think the shift to that book in the current market is due to the fact that everybody now considers it the first appearance. But at the time, in that, let's say, 3-year window between Todd was on Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
everybody who loved Todd wanted the 300 because that is Todd going loose.
How far back does CGC go?
2000.
99, I think, was the
first. So in 1999, the first label ever printed with ASM 300 has it as the first appearance of Venom.
Does it?
Yeah.
I think the shift did happen. Like, if you go to Wizard Magazine,
yeah.
they list 300 as a first appearance.
Oh, let me pull it out real quick. I got my Wizard right here.
300 is...
Let me get that. Yeah.
300 is listed as a first appearance. It's always... like you if go. You look at every CGC label, it's always been...
That's now, a beautiful book, sir.
There are some books that in this latest future that actually have gone... you know, have made changes on what's considered first appearance or not, but yeah. 300 has always been listed as the first appearance.
Right, but I don't think up until, like I said, I'm talking about that 3-year period, right?
When did ASM 300, what was the year it was? It was 88.
1988.
So I mean, you're talking about the 10 years between it coming out and CGC being formed. That's right. What you're talking about.
I'm talking about how that book's morphed. It's popular. It's the value of the book.
No, I understand. The price has only been always that way. I'm just saying, it's like, even though the book had Venom in it, what we're talking about is what is considered a first appearance. Yeah. His $299 could still be his first appearance, but he's more prevalent on 300. That's why everyone wanted it. Somebody, right? You know, CBCS wasn't around. Yeah. PGX wasn't around. The mm-hmm. only grading company out there was CGC. So CGC determined that was the first appearance somehow or another. They either or somebody.
I don't think there were already – you already had the Overstreet saying it probably, and you probably already had Wizard saying it. So it was – I think it was fait accompli that it was already going to be the first appearance.
No, I get that part. What I'm saying is – what I'm asking is where do we believe that consensus comes from? Does it Overstreet – ask the author? Does it ask the company who manufactured it? Does it dictate it for himself? We're Overstreet. We decided that's what it is. Where is that information being drawn?
I think
from?
This all gets taken from Chinatown.
Probably.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that that there's a small group of people that get together in a basement, an underground type ceremony,
an Illuminati of sorts.
Yes,
look,
yes.
Kevin has a great Chinatown. Example he's going to tell us about right now about he's got a great idea. Just go ahead and tell us, Kevin.
Well, another controversial one of the last few years is
one we're going to nix, by the way, tonight.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Hulk 180 and Hulk 181. So I'm going to briefly read to you the little last panel lines that Wolverine actually says.
Yes.
All right, you freaks, just hold it. If you really want to tangle with someone, why not try your luck against the Wolverine?
Yeah.
And then, of course, it tells you, well, now you know who Weapon X is, Faithful One. He's a living, raging powerhouse who's bound to knock you back on your emerald posterior.
So this is, officially, this is the first cameo or first appearance, however you want to look at it right now,
Wolverine.
Of the Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Which is 180, correct?
Yes.
180.
180.
Right? He's in one page. It's part of a one page. Panel. One panel.
But it's the largest panel.
And it's on the last page. Yes, it is the largest That's panel true. On the page, but there's one, two, three, four, five in total. And he's one of five. So that is a cameo. That is not a first full appearance. I'm sorry to everybody that bought cheaper and now wants to make it more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work.
If it was, let me ask you something. If it was one full page, if it was the full last page, Wolverine's there in five or six panels, would you then consider it a first full appearance at that point?
I think I would.
Okay.
I think I would.
I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing. Had he had the full page for six, five, yeah. four panels, whatever it is, then I would say, yes, you know what, the hell with it. This is the first.
Here's the hardest part of that. Appearance.
Okay.
Let's just say you decided I'm going to make 180 his first appearance. I mean, his first appearance, right? Mm-hmm. I'm making 180 his first appearance. And 181 will be his second appearance, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
The key is this. Where is the cameo?
Ha.
And I think that's why. Donald made a good point that that's what it is. But if you want to go
Wouldn't
further than that,
cameo just be eliminated completely.
There are some books
there
are some books that are that way. But what I'm saying is the way they say it is: if we made 180 his first appearance, and we made 181 his second appearance, that makes giant size X-Men number one null and void. Mm-hmm. It's a third appearance. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. That book, it's a big book, very hard, expensive book to get, becomes a null and void book.
It would be a null and void for Wolverine, but it's also Storm
Nightcrawler, Colossus.
Yeah.
But right. that's not the value. That's not the value. Right. That's not, you're not buying, Giant Size was one for Banshee. And you're buying it for
Storm. Come on now.
It's not Banshee's first appearance.
Thank you for correcting me. Yeah. Yeah. Storm.
Warpath, I believe. Was it Warpath?
Yeah, Warpath.
But
yeah. Thunderbird.
Thunderbird.
Giant Size a bigger book, too, is the fact that it's the first cover of what I call my X-Men. The first cartoon I ever saw, Wolverine was in the X-Men, right? So that's the first cartoon he was already introduced. Maybe I missed a couple episodes before that where he wasn't there, but when I first started watching the cartoon, he was already there. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, 181's probably the biggest, you know, one of the bigger conversions, but I think the book that Sean's going to talk about next in another X-Men book, that's pretty large.
Before we get there, I'll just like to make a parallel to what I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Overstreet in 1980-81, before Wolverine skyrocketed even more into popular. Obviously, Wolverine was pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
That they made a note in the 1980s, Overstreet, early 80s, saying the first appearance was in 180.
Yes, I've seen that picture plenty of times.
Yes.
People and in groups and stuff try to prove it.
Yeah.
Which I get, but I also know that at the date it was posted, people back then were stupid.
Well, the other interesting part about it is I believe up until that point, the 180 was going for a little more than the 181.
Probably. It goes back to the same thing.
But we had leaded gas back then, too.
Who makes the decision, right? If when the Orshi was out, the Orshi was like the Bible, right? So they would determine who was it, who was what.
Mm-hmm.
If at some point Marvel or DC or a combo collective of sort got together and said, hey, that's not what we're doing. We're going to put it on labels for grading. This is what the first appearance is. So like I said, if you could really find out a way to go back and talk to whoever you think of and say, this is how we determine the first appearances. We determine that a cameo was based on you had to have a full page to be a first appearance. Right. Without a full page, you couldn't be a first appearance. Someone had to determine that, and that's what they're using at this time, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And CGC is probably the most influential in terms of at the moment. So could it change? I think even if they wanted to change it back to 180, they wouldn't do it because, in a sense, and maybe I'm wrong, they could crash the market themselves by changing it, and everyone that it's that's hoarding these 181s are going to lose value, and then it's going to be a mad dash to get rid of books, and then that's when you see everything kind of go south.
Yeah, I would imagine that. Well, the what's it called? The you know, everything's already out, right? And to revert back to that, even though there's a lot of people trying to do that for probably more reasons than just accuracy.
And to ask you real quick, do you think a large percentage of those people that are trying to revert it back to 180 have a 181 as well?
I'm going to say probably not.
Well, they probably have both, but I'm saying they probably have six 180s and one 181.
Yeah.
But here's my question from that book, and you guys can all say it yourselves. I myself think the 180 is a better cover. I mean, the 181 is a better, I'm sorry, the 181 is a better cover.
The 181 is definitely better.
Better cover. So for me, clearly the 181 is a better cover. So,
which is probably why also it wins out so well.
Yep. And it's that's also going to be, let's hear what you had to say about you. You have a book that you want to discuss, and I think this is going to blend perfectly into that.
Yes. So the other book is the one featuring the Raging Cajun himself.
Oh, yeah.
Gambit. So you have X-Men 266, and you have Annual 14. Gambit is on the cover of 266.
Came out after, right?
It came out after. Probably about a month?
I think. A month or two.
Yeah. And
carrying an ugly version of Storm, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
It was a young version, that's why.
He just doesn't, you know, but
Baby Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in that book, he's on the front cover. He is prominently featured on the front cover, wearing a ridiculous outfit.
That trench coat. Got that trench coat.
Great.
What's under the trench coat? What's bodysuit?
He's Canadian, bro.
I don't know. He's from Louisiana. It's Cajun. Cajun.
He's French.
French.
It's not a Canadian tuxedo.
Montclair.
He's French.
Yeah.
Mon ami, you know?
Yeah, mon ami. Hello, mon ami.
Yeah. Hello, little girl.
Les prosos.
Croissant.
Yeah. But, But the book that came out before it, the X-Men Annual, 14.
Again, cover. Very ugly cover, yeah.
It had Art Adams cover.
It had, what's his name?
Ahab.
Ahab
on the cover with...
Is no white name? Whales.
Yeah, and I think he was like trying to torture a Power Pack kid.
But the thing is, he's like in I'd say 30% of that book?
Yeah.
He's in a lot of pages and panels.
And he says, and he actually sits and goes, I am Gambit. Like, he announces himself, you know, like Kevin walks in, he comes in, hey, it's Kevin.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Because, again, I have them both, but I want the 266 to be the first full simply because he's on the cover. He's throughout the book. It just looks better.
Yes.
It feels better in my hands than that annual one. But if I want to say that 180 doesn't count, it's tough because 180 only had that one panel, but 266 is a full thing, and then the annual 14 has a bunch of pages too. So you should give the credit to the annual 14,
right?
But well, it is really tough.
I think it's a revision. That is like CGC acknowledges, you know, all the on the label that it's the first appearance on the 266.
Uh-huh.
And the annual is a cameo. And I think that is a recent thing, like, let's say the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's been a large, like, the, you know, the 180, 181 is a old controversy. The Gambit, I feel like, is a new controversy.
Mm-hmm. And then and you're talking, like, you know, like you said, apples, oranges, you know, the whole 181, it's, you know, far cry more, way more money than
just. Well, I mean, ignoring that, I'm talking about just the debate.
Do you remember though when Gambit was almost as popular as Wolverine?
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
But the reason why we're having this conversation, it is a value issue for us collectors. Maybe not. We collect, but for in terms of these books, the only reason why a cameo versus a first appearance makes any difference and anyone cares because it basically strains the value of a book, right? The first appearance versus the cameo. If tomorrow they said, you know what, the 180 is not the first appearance, you know, I have a 180, But you know, I have two 181s because I wanted to make sure value wise, you know, I have a really shitty copy that I can read, and I have a copy that I upgraded. But mm-hmm. if that changes, I paid far more for my 181 than I paid for my 180. I think I paid like $100 for my 180, you know, way like 2 years ago. So then it would flip, and then in a sense, even though the value would flip, and I'd probably be still even in terms of what I could sell it for. I would feel like I lost money because I felt like I overpaid for a book in a sense.
Are you saying, but when you're talking about right there, are you saying that the market will move with what CGC says, or will it move? Because I feel Comic you're
Tom.
Safe.
Comic Tom.
Oh, let's not bring that name.
I feel like even if CGC says and Marvel even comes out, and says, it's 180, named. Right?
Right.
I don't think anybody who has a 180 or anybody who's in the hunt for a 180. Excuse me. A 181 is really going to be like the only thing that's going to be great is that now the price will level off instead of
the value will stay the same. You're right, 100%.
I think everybody still the vast majority of fans who are Wolverine fans are going to go to the 181.
But I don't think you see the
well, that's what they're doing with the Gambit,
the tumble picture, so right? Makes sense. You don't see the under the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
So at the first beginning, it's like the slide, right? People are going to say, well, still the 181 is my book. I'm still going to buy that. Even though the 180 is in first appearance, I'm still buying the 181, right? In terms of us collecting. Right. But as we drop off, right, as people older than us drop off and as we drop off and new collectors start to just pick up the 180 as the first appearance, then the market will start to catch itself. And at some point, the 180 will be worth more and the 181 will be devalued as you get down three generations from us contains collecting.
That is a possibility, mm-hmm. but I don't think I think that book is a legacy book now. I think
it's a blue chip, as they term it. Well, you know,
it's like
how many homage covers there are.
It's like Superman books, right? Mm-hmm. Superman, like the only books that are worth anything. Soupy One, Action One, mm-hmm. some Golden Age stuff.
That's the one with Ray's breaking.
Like, that's the Neil Adams.
Yeah, there you go.
Superman books used to be worth a lot of money. You know, like a lot of people read them, a lot of people loved them, but they're not.
A lot of those collectors died.
Yes,
that's true.
But I don't think that's going to happen. Wolverine, not in
either one of our lifetimes. Maybe you know, not in our lifetime, and probably never. It's more down the line of going forward. Like when you search for a book, mm-hmm. you know, like right now, I'm spending a lot of time looking for first Silver Age appearance of Batman villains. I haven't reached that issue yet in the appearance of Batman. I haven't had that issue where I'm. Is it a first appearance? Is it a cameo? I haven't got there yet because most real first appearances are Golden Age books that are far beyond my reach, and the Silver Age appearances are just the first Silver Age appearance. Except like Mr. Freeze, that's his first appearance in his origin. Marvel seems to have more of that than DC or anything else. I think Marvel
accessibility.
Marvel has a lot of that first appearance, and I think the amount of like, for instance, Amazing Spider-Man. How many Spider-Man books have been written? And we'll just throw out there. First appearance of the symbiote suit. It's three different books.
Yeah. Yep. Web of Spider-Man number 18.
Web of Spider-Man 18, 252, Secret Wars 8.
Team Up 141.
Team Up 141. There are four books that they can call.
And then there's Marvel Age.
Marvel Age. And there's that one little snippet in a book where the kid sent in the new character. So in that book, there's a lot of, you know, things. Now, the two books that come to mind before anything else is the 252 and Secret Wars 8. Secret Wars 8, it's probably more prominent because of the way the cover looks. And then 252 is...
When I was a kid, that was the book.
Mm-hmm. Secret Wars 8?
Yeah, Secret Wars 8 was the symbiote book when you wanted the suit.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's so many...
To me, that should still stay the same. Right. Yeah. You know?
And right now, it's never changed. They still... They actually put on the label that it's tied for the first appearance and they list the book it's tied with on the label. It's pretty good.
That's fair.
Interesting.
That's pretty good. They actually list it. It's tied with one other book, 52. They put 252 on there as a tied book on there. They basically came, they were released the same week or some nature, right?
Supposedly. I think there's a whole controversy about the release date too. Supposedly one was released a week before. The 8 might have been released a month later.
We had this recently, not too long ago, and then we'll go to Donald. Donald's a great book too. But recently, with the first appearance of Virus, right, in Venom, his first appearance was in a Free Comic Book Day book. It was Venom, Free Comic Book Day, first appearance of, was it Virus or was it Was it virus? I think it's virus.
I think.
And
is it, yeah, and yeah. They didn't I want to say anti-venom, but I think it was virus.
No, it was virus. Yeah. I think it was virus. And they didn't release it because of COVID. The book didn't come out. Then Venom, I think it's Venom 33 or 32 came out, which was his first cover appearance. So basically on the label of that book, it says that it's the first appearance because the other book was released later due to COVID.
Right.
So it's the first mention of COVID on a CGC case ever.
Well, technicality there, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, CGC got it right. But when they're getting it right, my real question is, where is this information coming from? I know you can. We all can sign on the internet, but I'm saying someone's telling them this book was the first appearance, but because it wasn't released in time for you to see it, this is going to be considered the first appearance. Instead of if I wrote a book, right, that we were all in, we all had a book, and issue 3 had Donald's first appearance. And I released issue 4 first because I had a problem with the printing of issue 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you bought 4 and then you went back, bought 3. Technically, Donald's first appearance still is in 3, even though we see him in 4. The only problem is you didn't get the book in time because the printer fucked up.
Right.
Right.
So how does that change the appearances? In terms of timeline and you know, the first appearance is still that book. But in terms of printing, it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So... And Donald has a great book. He's going to talk about another DC book. And no, it's not a Blue Beetle book.
No, it's not, unfortunately. But I did create a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. You can check it out on rumblespoon.com or on YouTube channel for Rumblespoon Productions.
All 4 seasons.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. So basically, I want to talk about first Dark Side.
No, wait. Is it Dark Side or is it Dark Seed?
I used to say when I was younger, I used to say Dark Seed. And then every time I heard it, in cartoons and stuff, they said Dark Side. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to go Dark Side.
It's not side. It's like S-I-D-E. It's side, like E-I-D.
Because
so, mm-hmm. Someone asked me, I said that thing. He's like, well, isn't it seed? And I'm like for plants? He's like, yeah. It's like, I don't think so. Seed is S-E-E-D.
You know, that was how it with Magneto. I used to call him Magneto until I was corrected. And then in the cartoon,
well, that's because English is your third language, bro.
That is true.
It's true. Yeah. Very true.
They don't teach how to pronounce it in Klingon, do they?
Yeah. So basically, first Dark Side, these two books came out in the same month. Forever People, number 1. And Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, number 134. Now, number 134 is seen canonically now as the cameo. He appears on a computer screen on the last page.
In pink.
Yes. And the Forever People, number 1, he's actually in it much more, in full body, full face, all that. He speaks more, you know, stuff like that. The one that is worth more, though, is the Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 134.
Now, why is that?
Oddly enough.
Why is that?
I think I want to say it's just because...
I think it's tradition.
Of the tradition and of the relationship of him with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Of his... Of the great, yeah. You know, versus kind of thing that you have. Fantastic Four, their great villain is Dr. Doom. With Superman... They were building that for a long time. His main villain was Darkseid. Then, like his great opposition, you know,
right. The one someone that, could actually. Lex Luthor's more of the brainy.
Right, like, now later, of course, we got muscle. Doomsday, which came in and kind of overshadowed that. But now it's gotten back to Darkseid again, right. Because Darkseid is all, yeah, you know,
sense.
So to speak.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Darkseid is a great villain.
Yeah,
you know? He very much so is. Yeah,
he's a great villain, and he is a villain that I think. A lot of people realize it's a great Superman villain.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't a Superman villain.
No.
He was a Justice League villain before he was a Superman
villain. And before that, he was a New Gods villain, you know, which makes sense because he's
a part of, the
part world. Of that world. Yeah.
Fourth world stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of Kirby's, all that fourth world that he basically created. Yeah. So it's quite fascinating. But that's a quick one. Because you look at it and you say, okay, so it's in direct opposition to the Incredible Hulk 180-181, whereas the cameo is worth less than the full first appearance. And in this case, Forever People number 1 is worth less than the cameo. So it's like completely flipped. It's interesting how that happens. And it's not necessarily because it's DC Comics versus Marvel in that instance, but I think, again, it's just that we associate Darkseid now with Superman, and it is kind of traditional in that that's where what people saw it for the longest time. So yes, it worked, and that's the way it stands right now. And I'm okay with it. I own both. I'm okay with it.
And but New Gods 1, do you have that too? Because New Gods 1's a great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It isn't, picked that up a while back. It doesn't fall into the first appearance, unfortunately, but you get a badass splash page at the end with him.
With New Gods?
Yeah, New Gods 1, you get a badass spread splash page of Darkseid.
A full spread. I mean, like spread eagle. Like,
he's beautiful, like, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, just beautiful. Like,
you find out what's under
see all his giblets, yeah. All of them. It's fantastic.
So I got on a side note, you know, just besides the cameo and the first appearance, talking about, like, you know, cover appearances. Have you ever really noticed how some people's cover appearance, some people's first appearance, which were not on the cover appearance ends up being, in your mind, to me, the better cover.
Right.
You know, and maybe something we can talk to at a later date. But yeah. I think, you know, a lot of books that I'm picking up nowadays, I tend to see when I pick up the second appearance because it's a better looking book, not more expensive, but better in terms of appearance of the cover and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of segues into my last set would be Fantastic Four 48 and 49, because the FF49 is a better looking cover, in my humble opinion, because you've actually, you know, it's the first full cover appearance of Galactus and Silver Surfer. Where 48,
right,
it's kind of weird, it's kind of funny.
It's got the Watcher pointing, the Watcher with his pointing big ass sky, fat head and his derpy face.
And the sky, like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, similar to the 180, Galactus also has like this one last panel where he states, "My journey is ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speaks Galactus."
Yep. But none of these motherfuckers out here say a goddamn word about that.
That's,
you know,
true.
Nobody says a word about that's that. True. It's all Wolverine all the time.
Yep.
Exact same scenario.
Yep.
Yet that's okay.
Yep.
Like, bullshit. Right. I call bullshit on all you.
Yes. Right.
But I still, in my mind, out of those that series, 48, 49, and 50, I think 49 is the better cover in terms of them being together. 50 is by far my favorite. Mm-hmm. So for coming throwing that brown cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool.
49.
With Wyatt Wingfoot in the local.
Yeah. 48 is the most expensive of the three books, but 50 is my favorite. But 49 kind of puts the two together.
Yeah, 49 is my favorite, I think, of the bunch. And like Kevin said, because it just has Galactus right there, and he's on the, again, he's on the cover. You know, he's part of that, and he's throughout the whole thing. It's so cool. It's such a cool cover. I love that book.
And that's why I think at some point Marvel needs to figure out how to make a movie with Galactus that's legit.
Oh, it's coming. It's agreed. Coming.
I know it.
Motherfucker,
I
mean, better not be a clown.
Yeah, exactly.
We thought when they were, when they did
be a fucking god.
When they did X-Men, right? And they did Apocalypse.
Oh,
you expected
geez.
This.
I know.
You know, character and
you're
and
absolutely
one,
right.
When the one part where he grew big and he had his arm, that was the best piece.
And
he should have been that big all the time.
And that was like in the astral plane sequence, yeah, something like that. I'm like, well, what? Where was this before?
That should have been the whole time.
Yeah, I was so mad because growing up with that '90s cartoon, I loved
that voice.
That voice. And then when they casted Oscar Isaac, he's a good actor, but this was not the part for him. No. This was not the part for him.
No, not at all. Not at all. But that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you all for being here, and thank you to our audience for listening. Please check us out on our YouTube page under Rumblespoon Productions. We have a lot of videos, really cool videos, shorts, and more audio podcasts there, video podcasts as well. Our live shows are pretty much almost every Monday around 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can find us there. We do a lot of fun things, some verses and some audience participation votes and things like that. Oftentimes, we give away a lot of fun prizes too, so give us a check on that. You can find our audio podcast all over the place, pretty much any podcast platform. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can find us there. If you can't find us on one, reach out to us, let us know. We'll get on that platform for you because we love you and we want to take care of you. It's just in our nature. I don't know what to say. But with that, again, thank you for tuning in and listening. I'm Donald. I'm here with DJ Sensational, Showtime, and Kevin. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the Galactic Grand and always full comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.